your Holy Spirit would guide us, that you would be glorified in advance through our attitudes, through our actions, through our reactions, and through our influence in the world around us. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified accurately, passionately, and Lord, deep enough, but Lord, short enough. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First of all, this morning we're going to look at what we need to do right now as Christians. We've looked at that passage, and you're in Romans chapter 13. We've already stood, we've already read, so I'll just read it. Romans 13, 11 through 14 says this, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Verse 12, "The night is far spent." We've been sleeping long enough is the idea. "The day is at hand." It's time to wake up. It's bright out now. "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness." Let's unburden ourselves with the distractions. "And let us put on the armor of light." Let us walk, or the idea of live. Let us live, conduct ourselves honestly as in the day. Like living in the light. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envying. But how should we live right now? "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." It means live like him. "And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." What do we need as Christians right now? As Christians, what does it look like to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? A lot of good lists in the New Testament how a Christian should be living in society. What characteristics should stand out in our lives as Christians in 2020 while in the midst of a crazy storm of society right now? Let's go through this. I found 12 things, and let me just say, I was going to say the top 10 things we need right now. And I thought that was kind of corny, kind of, you know, so, and there's too many. There's 12. But let's look at 12 things, and I'll just start first by reading Galatians 5, 22 through 25. It says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit," if we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, and Romans 8 says that as Christians, if we've placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Ephesians 1 points that out as well. "But the fruit of the Spirit," the reactions, the outflow of the Spirit is, and here's the list, "love, joy, peace, long-suffering," it's the idea of patience, "gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit," and the idea is, since we have the Spirit, since we live in the Spirit, "let us also walk in the Spirit." The first thing that I believe as Christians we need right now is faith. Trust. I classify this as faith over fear. In our society right now, fear and feelings are king and queen. Fear. Feelings. What does God call for? Faith. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this, "Moreover, it is required in stewards." We've been given a stewardship. What's the requirement of that stewardship? "That a man be found faithful." Full of faith is the idea. Colossians 2, 5 through 8 says this, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." The unmovable faith that you have in Christ. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord," how did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? "By faith, so walk ye in him." Walk, live your life, conduct yourself in that faith. It's not just a faith for salvation, it's a faithfulness throughout your life. "Rooted and built up in him." That's faith, that's trust, stability. "And established," how? in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Why can we be thankful? Because we're rooted and grounded in faith, and we know that God's got this. Amen. Beware, watch out, lest any man spoil you. How? Through philosophy and vain deceit, deceiving you. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Watch out for fear and feelings and everything else that's going on around you. Instead, sink your roots deep in a faith of Christ, that God's got this. He's in control. He's a good God with a good plan. He cares about us, and we can trust him. Next, what do we need right now as Christians? Number two, love. Love. Accurate biblical love. And let me just say this. Love does not equal tolerance. Those are two separate things. I'm saying accurate love. People say if you love someone, you're going to let them do whatever you want. No, sometimes if you love someone, you're going to confront them when they are in wrong. Amen. You look at Nathan the prophet with David. That was loving when he confronted him. You look at Jesus in the temple casting out. People say he wasn't tolerating those people. No, he wasn't. Why? Because he loved them. He cared about them. Sometimes love takes action. But let's look at a couple passages. As Christians, what should be the defining mark as Christians right now? John 13, 34 and 35 says this, a new commandment I give unto you. Jesus, right before he's heading off to be crucified, and he knows what's coming, he's giving his last words to his disciples, and he says this, here's some last advice, some last commandments I'm giving you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Just like Christ has loved us, we should love each other, is the idea. By this, by what? By love. Shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. What's the greatest evidence for Christ in our culture right now? Love. John 15, 8 through 13 says this, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How do we have joy in the midst of trials? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Love. Number three, what do we need as society to define us right now? Faith, trust, love, unity. Let's think about this. We are on the same team. Let's keep that in mind. Psalm 133 verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is, my brethren, for brethren to dwell together in unity. 1 Corinthians 1:10, and we'll be looking at this passage a little bit further later. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So I want to challenge us with two things. Number one, rally around what unifies us. Unity is sweet to God. Rally around each other. Yes, we have our differences. Yes, we have our differences of opinion. Yes, we have our differences of perspective. Yes, we have our differences. But let's rally around what unifies us. We're the same team. So rally around what unifies us and recognize who is behind the chaos, disruption, and dissension. Who's behind all that? Satan. He wants us to fight against each other. Or if we have opinions that are different than someone else's opinions, it's okay. Let's be sensitive with each other. And let's rally around what unifies us. What unifies us? Faith in Christ. Love for God, love for each other, and love for others. Let's rally around the important things, earnestly contending together for the faith, and let's realize that Satan wants nothing more than to disrupt us, discourage us, and to create divisions within our midst. Okay? I think dissension is so sweet to Satan. He loves it when we fight. He loves it when we are critical of each other. He loves it when we gossip about each other. He loves it when we don't like to be around each other. Who's the only one that wins in that? Satan, the devil. Let's recognize that and let's rally around what truly unifies us, Christ and God's truth. It reminds me of an army that forgets who they're fighting against. Remember back in Civil War days or World War II days, what would happen? You'd have trenches. Okay. And then you'd hide in the trenches and you'd be looking and you'd be looking for the enemy, ready to fight the enemy on the other side. And they're trying to shoot at you and you're trying to shoot at them. But what happens when the soldiers start getting frustrated with each other and start shooting each other? Okay. I think a lot of times what Satan is doing right now in 2020 in our society is creating an environment where instead of all of us focusing on the devil and Satan and wickedness and the advance of Christ, and Christ's kingdom, we're focusing on each other and taking pot shots at each other and criticizing each other for minor things. Instead, let's rally around each other, recognize who our true enemy is. It's not each other, it's the devil, and let's advance the cause of Christ. What do we need as Christians? Faith, trust. We need love. We need unity. And number four, it takes humility. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What's that saying? That you live up to what you've been given. How? And really, Ephesians 4 through 6 explains how. But what does it start with? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, supporting one another in love, endeavoring, it means trying our very best to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What does that start with? Lowliness and meekness. What do we need as Christians right now? Humility. Instead of pride and arrogance, humility. Matthew 21:12 says this, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. 1 Peter 5:5-9 gives another one of those lists, another one of those passages that talks about how we should live amongst each other. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And realize the context here. The next verses that we quote in this part of our time, our situation, our culture right now is the next verses. But realize the context of what was just said. The next verses are this. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast, how? In the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What's he saying? Unity, humility, submission to each other, realizing that you're on the same team fighting against a common enemy is foundational to casting your care on him. To resisting the devil. What do we need as Christians right now? Humility. Submission to each other. Unity. Faith. Trust. Love. That's what should be describing us and characterizing us as Christians right now in society. Not fear and mayhem. Chaos. Division. Infighting. Number five, obedience. Obedience and faithfulness is what should characterize us right now. The question we should be asking ourselves, and that I need to ask myself constantly, And we need to ask, you should ask yourself this daily, many times a day. What does God want me to do? Am I faithfully obeying what God wants me to do, even if it takes me out of my comfort zone? As 2020 American Christians, we've been so conditioned to prioritize comfort more than obedience. What does God want you to do? Are you being faithful in obeying what God wants you to do? John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we truly love Christ, we're going to do what he tells us to do, even if it takes us out of our comfort zones. I was thinking this last week, we had a family, we'll go up to Michigan. Is it comfortable to get arrested and put in prison for standing for something that you know God wants you to stand for? Well, no, it's not comfortable. But sometimes we have to be taken out of our comfort zone. If all of a sudden it became illegal for us to come to church, we've seen that recently. If it became illegal to come to church, would we still come to church? If you love me, keep my commandments. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, we'll look at that here in a minute. Proverbs 20, verse 20 says this, a faithful man, Proverbs 28, verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. I'm also reminded, I don't have the passage here, but where Jesus Christ says, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. You're going to have to put me, Christ says, above your family, above your pursuits, above your possessions, your popularity. Question that we need to ask ourselves as Christians is, are we obeying and being faithful to what God wants us to do? Or have we placed our priority on our own comfort and our own desires? Number six, what do we as Christians need to do right now in 2020? We need to show discernment. We need to show wisdom. Number six, discernment, wisdom. You know, as Christians, as Baptists, Baptistic in our faith, two of our solid foundations are the priesthood of the believer and individual soul liberty. As a Baptist church, we give dignity to give each other authority and freedom in our spiritual lives. That means I cannot tell you how you have to live your Christian life. I can point you to it from God's word. But as individuals, you have soul liberty, freedom. Right? That's why as a church, I think it is so wise for us to say, hey, do what God wants you to do. Some people need to, and this whole sermon is not about this, but some people need to stay home right now. All right. Some people need to be here right now. Some people need to stay home that are here, and some people need to stay, to come that are at home. Okay. What am I saying? God has given each of us the individual responsibility to obey him. Okay. God has made each of us our own priest. I'm not your priest. Okay. You don't have to confess anything to me, all right? Middle wall has been broken down. Individual soul liberty, priesthood of believers. You're at Romans 13. Let's go to the next chapter, Romans 14. It goes right into this. Romans 14, and I would encourage you to read the whole chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to highlight some verses. Chapter 14, verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. His basic thought is, there's issues that are minor that you shouldn't be fighting over. Verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Someone chooses not to celebrate Christmas or have a Christmas tree. Because it's a day, a worship of a day, you don't have to separate from that person and never talk to them again and criticize and gossip about them. Okay? One man esteemeth one day above another. Every man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Verse 12, skip down to verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Realize as individual souls, we have a responsibility to obey and be faithful to what God wants us to do. Verse 17, skip down. I'm skipping awesome content here. But verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not minor issues, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 1 John 4:1 says this, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Be discerning, show wisdom. All through the book of Proverbs, it talks about the simple-minded. Don't be gullible. All right? Think and allow scripture to be your foundation while you live this life with discernment, with your eyes wide open. Number 7, what do we need as Christians right now? Boldness, strength. Proverbs 28 verses 1, 4, and 5 says this, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Don't be scared of things you shouldn't be scared about. The righteous are bold. Why? Because Christ is our strength, our shield, our refuge. Verses 4 and 5. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. What's that? The idea. Their eyes are open to what's going on around them. We'll look at later 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and really all the way up to chapter 4 verse 2. The eyes of your understanding being opened. The natural man receiveth not the things that be of God. They're foolishness to them. But the Spirit opens the eyes, gives you discernment, gives you wisdom. Live with discernment on what's going on around us. Walk circumspectly, aware of what's going on around us. Ephesians 5:16. Proverbs 28, verse 23 says this, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Sometimes confrontation is loving. As Christians, we need boldness. We need to be strong, especially when there's error. Don't back down. What do we need? Number 8, truth. What is truth? We've heard in the last few years, in a postmodern society, we are a post-truth society. Well, as Christians, what is our truth? The authority of Scripture. All right? We can trust that God's word is truth. Amen. We need to anchor ourselves in God's truth. Proverbs 28, verse 23. John 7, let's turn there. John 17, 13 through 17 tells, Jesus is telling his disciples, well, he's actually praying to God, and he's explaining how his disciples should live in this world. And we are his followers. We are his followers. How should we live right now in 2020 in American culture that in many ways is anti-God? Let's read it. John 17 verses 13 through 17 says this. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world. Jesus is praying to God that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. He's talking about his followers, his disciples. Verse 14, John 17, 14. I have given them what? What resource? I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, means cleanse them. How? Through thy truth. Where do we get the source of truth? Thy word is truth. So how do we make sense of it all right now? Immerse ourselves in scripture, in the word of God. That should dominate our thoughts. Let me just say this. In my personal life, I'll be transparent with you. My devotional life was struggling. All right. I would study scripture, you know, I would study for my Wednesday night Bible study with the teens. I'd study for Sunday school. I would be studying, but that was my study. I study it all week. I was like, wait a minute. I need to sink myself deep into Proverbs and Psalms right now. Why? Because I need to know how to discern and live wisely, not simple-minded in this society right now. And Psalms talks about my light and my salvation and my refuge and my strength and my shield. How do we make sense of it all? Not by getting on Facebook, not by getting on Instagram, not by turning on CNN or Fox News. How do we make sense of it all? God's truth. And how do we know God's truth? His word. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is what allows the Holy Spirit to speak in us and work in us and thrive in us. So we need to show discernment as Christians. Number 7, boldness and strength. Number 8, we need to, as Christians, be defined by truth. God's truth found in His words. We need to immerse ourselves in Scripture. 1 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. For sake of time, we won't look at those. Number 9, what should define us as Christians? What do we need right now to have our lives look like? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we live Christ-likeness in 2020 as American Christians? Number 9, we need to be defined by grace. I'll say this, there's two perspectives of this. Number 1, God's grace to us. We need to realize we're not as great as we think we are. All right? What's that? Humility. Okay? But every good gift and every perfect gift that we have comes from God, from above, James 1:17 says. A lot of times we can, like Luke 18 talks about those Pharisees that walked around, how great they are and praying, I'm thankful that I'm not like this person. And Jesus says, well, who is the one that really had the heart of God? It was the publican that said, hey, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. I need your grace, God. Instead of walking around like that Pharisee, let's walk around like that publican, realizing that everything we have is simply a result of the grace of God in our lives. Okay? So that's one side of it. The other side of grace that should be defining us right now is God's grace to us and our grace to others. One thing we've learned through this whole thing is how to be sensitive. I struggle with that at times. I'm still learning. If there's something that someone disagrees with me, I need to show them grace sometimes, especially, and we'll talk about this later, if it's a minor issue. Now, if it's a fundamental of the faith, no, man, I'm going to earnestly contend for it. All right? If it's a major doctrinal thing that's a life and death, there's life and death situations that we stand for. But if it's something like minor, it's okay to show each other grace. It's okay to not fight. It's okay. It's so often that we start shooting at each other this way instead of shooting at Satan that way. Grace. Let me say this. My challenge to you this week, and get in the habit of doing it, is go out of your way to encourage people. Give people something out of the norm that you don't normally do. Isn't that what grace is? God giving us something that we did nothing to deserve. Give something to someone that they did not deserve. Here's some examples, some suggestions. A text. Just a text to let you know I'm praying for you and appreciate you. How often do we do that? And how often should we do that with each other? Hey, I'm praying for you. God brought you to mind today. My challenge to you is do that at least one time per day this next week. Why? Because demonstrate God's grace by being gracious to others. Another one, a letter. Yeah, snail mail. Yeah, the USPS is having issues right now. But I got a letter a couple weeks ago that was such an encouragement from Mr. Barker. He sent me a letter, a snail mail letter, and he said, yes, we still send snail mail letters. You know what? It's such an encouragement to me. Let's do that. Why don't we? That's out of the norm, giving someone something that they did not deserve. What's another example? An email. Mrs. Haas is awesome at sending me emails and sending others in the body. Out of the norm. What do we do to deserve it? Nothing. It's simply a gracious act of care and love. How are you doing? Another one. A letter. Bake something. Back when all this started, it was such an encouragement. I was sitting on my front porch reading and studying. And the summers, Mickey and Abigail and Nathan came and dropped off some cookies and said, here, thinking of you. Gracious. Encouraging. All right? That's what should define us as Christians. Grace. Giving people encouragement, love, faith, and blessing. Make a call. I enjoy getting calls from Dean Fadden out of the blue. Why? Just checking in, you know? How often do we actually call someone anymore? Yes, they still have that. It reminds me of that cartoon that we saw in the salesperson saying, yeah, it does this and has this app and this processor and this and that and the other. And the older person is standing there and says, well, does it make phone calls? And the salesperson says, well, yeah, it does if you're into that kind of sort of thing. All right. Yes, you can still call people and talk to them with your voice and encourage them. Right? Some people need that right now. Amen. Send something. So Mrs. Josephine Russell, she sends letters to my kids. And you know what? They open that mailbox and they see that they got a letter. You know how encouraging that is to my kids? Right? What should define us right now in 2020 as Christians? Grace. Just like reveling in God's grace to us, we need to demonstrate that grace to others. That was number 9. Number 10. Mercy and forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness. Maybe there's times where in the last 6 months or so, we have been shooting at each other. Right? Be willing to show mercy. Be willing to forgive. Be willing to be humble and meek. Look at these verses in Ephesians 4, 29 through Ephesians 5 verse 1. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But, in contrast to that, that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We're all part of the family of God. We're all children of the same God on the same team. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice for God for a sweet-smelling savor. Oh, I love it when my people, God says, are showing love and kindness in these things. Sweet-smelling to me. All right? Let that be our defining marks. As Christians, what does it look like to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Mercy, forgiveness is part of that. Let's demonstrate that and characterize that in 2020. 11th, the Holy Spirit. What do we need right now? What's going on? Well, how do we respond to it? We need to realize and recognize the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives right now. Discernment, wisdom. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word of God enables the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Now let's recognize the Holy Spirit. We need to be tuned in and listening and willing to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. John 14:16 through 18. And Jesus, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. All right, so what's the point? The world doesn't have the Holy Spirit right now. What do we have? The Holy Spirit to comfort us and guide us and strengthen us. Realize the importance of that. Last of all, what do we need to define us as Christians right now? Repentance. You know, I was up in a week ago. My dad and I went up for a day or two with some Christian brothers in Craig, Colorado. We were elk hunting for 2 days. And it was such an encouragement because one of them is the youth director at the church up there. And we get talking. You're supposed to be quiet when you're hunting for elk. And me and him get talking about spiritual things and scripture. And what happens? All of a sudden we're just talking like this. And we're like, oh, the elk aren't going to be coming around us. But he challenged me with something. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I will put the disclaimer on there, okay? Before you discount it that it was written to Israel back in the Old Testament, it is a principle. It is part of God's truth, okay? So we can learn from the Old Testament. It's our schoolmaster. So I recognize that it's not written directly to America in 2020. But it is written to America in 2020 because it is the principle of God. Okay, what does it say? If my people, not those people, if my people, his followers, if my people, which are called by my name, what do we call ourselves? Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. As Christians in 2020, are we willing to repent of what we've been doing wrong, or are we going to be stubborn and hold on to what God is trying to teach us? Let me say, those that are stubborn and hold on, we've seen it all through the Old Testament, and we see it through God's character. God chastises a nation and a people and individuals who are too stubborn to repent. We as a nation are not perfect. We're far from it. In fact, we're wicked. But when we use that as a scapegoat at times. Well, what about us in our lives? Let's look at ourselves. Hey, what's the result of these things? What we need right now. When we're characterized by faith and love and unity and humility and obedience and discernment and boldness and truth and grace and mercy and the Holy Spirit and repentance. What's the result? God is glorified and Christ is advanced. What happens when that's not our defining marks? God is not glorified and Christ is not advanced. Realize the significance of that. What can we do? God gives us in his word what to do. I'll say there's many more that could be on this list. Let's move on. And these are all the opposite, so we'll go quicker. Okay? What we don't need right now as Christians. You contrast 1 through 12 of what we need with 1 through 12 of what we don't need. These are all opposites, antonyms. Number one, we do not need fear. We do not need fear. Fear not. You just do a simple, I challenge you, please study this. Google it if you have to. Look up the search. Fear not. How many times is fear not mentioned in scripture? 71 times. What? 71 times. Be not afraid. Just in your app on your phone, on your Bible app. Parentheses, be not afraid. 28 times. Not be afraid. 13 times. God doesn't want his followers, his Christians, his people to live in fear of the situations around them. Who does he want them to fear? Him. And what does that mean? Not a terror fear, a worship, an awe, a respect fear. Fear not. we have a little construction paper with a little verse. I think it was from Cubby's, Psalm 4, verse 8. And it's sticking on Lydia's, right on her wall, right above her bed, because she struggles with being afraid at night. What does this verse say? Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. We say, oh, that's a great verse for a little five-year-old who's scared to sleep at night. No, that's a good verse for us. When we look at health crisis and political crisis and social upheaval, who's the one that gives us safety? Not us. God. I'm thinking of last week. I'm challenged by the testimony of John and Betty Stamm, who are in China sharing the gospel. They're getting their heads cut off. And John was getting his head cut off. And Betty says, hey, don't leave me by myself. I want to join him. All right. I'm thinking David Brainerd, the American Indians, he knew the risks. In 2020, what is the greatest risk for us as Christians? To come to church? To get out of our houses? Right? Don't live in fear. Realize that God is our refuge and our shield and our protector, and fear not. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Philippians 1:20-21, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, Paul is writing this while he's in prison, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Is what? Gain. Is death really the worst thing that can happen to us as American Christians in 2020? If our answer is yes, then maybe we are holding on too tightly to the things of this world. Number two, what do we don't need right now? Hate, dissension, conflict, infighting, jealousy. We saw that in Ephesians 4. Let no corrupt communication. Be kind one to another. The opposite of love is hate. Yes, we may disagree. Yes, we may have different perspectives. Yes, we may have different opinions. But don't let that cause us to hate each other. What we don't need as Christians right now, the opposite of unity, is divisiveness. All right, if we have our own little crews, all right, I am of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. If we have all those type of groups in our body, what's going to happen? Dissension, conflict, infighting, jealousy. That's not helpful. That's shooting each other in the trenches. Let's not do that. Hey, did you see? Hey, did you hear? Hey, did you, and we start developing our different cliques and groups, and that's not healthy. The only one that wins from that is Satan. Not us. We have this group that has this opinion, and this group that has this perspective, and this, and they're all minor issues. Meat and drink. Let's, instead of focusing on those small things, let's realize the foundational things that bring us together. Christ. Advancing Christ. Glorifying him. And let's rally around each other, even though we are different. Divisiveness, gossip, criticism, schisms. 1 Corinthians 3, 1-11. We don't have time to read that right now, but I challenge you, read that. Number four, pride. What we don't need right now. The opposite of humility is pride. James 4, 6 through 10. What we don't need right now, number five, the opposite of obedience and faithfulness. The opposite is disobedience and laziness. God has called us to do certain things. Let's not be lazy or disobedient to that. Let's not look for every excuse not to obey God and what God desires us to do. We could go further, but we will not, for sake of time. Number six, the opposite of discernment and wisdom, what we don't need right now is gullibility and lack of discernment. You know, I was driving up to my sister's house yesterday in Westminster, and I saw it was graffiti. And I think people are getting more and more bold. Used to be like gang symbols and things like that. But I saw a sign that said, "Practice media distancing." It was written on a bridge. I was like, who was the grandma that got out at midnight and said, "I'm going to spray this on the side of a building"? I got the biggest kick out of that. Instead of practice social distancing, practice media distancing. Or practice social media distancing. All right? A lot of times we're so gullible by what we take in. And we don't think. We don't use reason skills. We don't use logic. And we allow that fear and the feelings pressed upon us through either media or social media or public opinion to mold us into how we act and how we live. What we need right now is discernment and wisdom, not gullibility and lack of discernment. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 4, verse 2. We're not going to take time to read it. Once again, I'm already past time. See life with open eyes. It's only possible. 1 Corinthians 1 through 3 talks about it's only possible through faith and the Holy Spirit and God's grace. Focus on God's grace and God's truth in His Word and God's Holy Spirit. And that is how we're going to have wisdom and discernment in this life. Over and over again, the idea of the simple-minded in Proverbs. Let's not be simple-minded. I remember in high school, we would play pranks on some friends of ours that happened to be female. And we were trying to convince one of them that she needed to not only have her oil changed, but her blinker fluid replaced. And so she went to the mechanic asking for the blinker fluid to be replaced. Okay? Why? She believed us. Okay? We also convinced some, if you turn your head fast enough, you can see your ear. Try it. All right, no one's gullible. No one tried it. All right? You turn your head fast enough, you can see your ear. Oh, someone tried it. There we go. All right? Don't be gullible. Think. Use common sense. Number seven. What we do need is truth in scripture. What we don't need is compromise right now. We don't need compromise. We don't need weakness and conformity. We need truth and boldness and strength. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 7, 1. I'm not going to get through reading all of these. I admit it. Read it at home. Study this on your own. Please develop this. Israel's three generations in Judges 2. The first one was convicted, was strong. And finally, the third was characterized by compromise. We don't need compromise right now. Number eight, we do need truth. We don't need lies. Scripture should be our main resource right now. Immerse ourselves in it. Read a proverb a day. There's 31 proverbs. It's August 30th. Read Proverbs 30 today. I started doing that in the morning. I get up, I have a prayer time with God. I was just doing prayer time. My prayer life, I'm not going to say was perfect, but I was consistent at least in my prayer life. But now match it with reading a proverb. And then match it with reading a psalm. Wow. That should be our main source of truth right now. I remember in college, my wise professor in a ministry class, there's this book lists that he was talking about for commentaries and all these other things and resources for pastors and people's training in God's truth. And one person said, what is the best commentary or resource for us if we want to study and we have a limited budget? You know what his answer was? The Bible. He said, so many times we read all of these other resources and we don't read the Bible. Read the Bible. That's our main resource. Main resource should not be the TV or the internet or our smartphones right now. It should be God's truth, the Word of God. That's where we find truth. So right now, it's so important for us to study the prophets, to study the life of Daniel, to study the Gospels, to study the New Testament epistles. Immerse ourselves in God's Word so we're not dominated and characterized by lies. We're not gullible. We're able to be solidly grounded in the truth of God's Word. Number 9. We need grace to define us. We do not need, number 9, selfishness, which is the opposite of grace. If grace is giving something that's not deserved, selfishness is keeping something that we should give. Selfishness. I know we don't have time, but I'm teaching, sorry, Steve, I'm teaching Sunday school, so I'll just cut into my own time with it. No. Acts 2. Let's turn there, because this should define us. The early church, Acts 2:41 through 47. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This is the birth of the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and every man had, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This is not advocating political communism. What is this advocating? Christian charity. Looking out for each other. Having each other's back. Fellowship, prayer, breaking of bread, singleness of heart. What was the result? God was praised. They had favor with all people. They had a good reputation in their community. And the Lord added to the church as many as should be saved. God was glorified and Christ was advanced. Number 10. We should be characterized by mercy and forgiveness. We should not be characterized by grudges, contention, bitterness. There's going to need to be things that we're sensitive to people. And we give liberty and we understand individual soul, Christian liberty, and we agree to disagree with some people. We need to learn to discern what spiritual triage is. What's that? You know, when you go into the emergency room, if you were in a construction accident and automatically your arm got cut off and you are gushing blood, that is a pretty important issue. Okay? If you had a knife accident and you're carving something and you cut yourself and you need stitches and it's trickling blood, that's pretty important. If you fell and scraped your knee, that's not very important. All right? So what happens? The person who scraped their knee may have to wait a long time because the people that cut off their arm are more important. Okay, there's issues biblically and theologically and practically that we must understand as spiritual triage issues. the fundamentals of the faith. If someone disagrees whether Jesus is God, or that the Bible is our authority, or that miracles, Jesus is supernatural, or the important doctrines of the faith, those are important issues that we must earnestly contend for the faith, as Jude 3 and 4 tells us. But if there's other issues that maybe we disagree with someone, that may not be a major doctrinal issue, that's a life and death situation, that's not a hill we're going to die on, that we can agree to disagree with, but are still pretty important issues, we may even separate from them in some instances. We may not participate with them in that, but we're not going to cut them off. But then there's other issues that are preference issues. All right? I wish we could go further in it. Preference issues. Those are not real important. Give grace. Don't hold grudges in areas like that. Don't contend, earnestly contend for whether a woman wears open-toed shoes versus closed-toed shoes. Okay, that's a silly issue, right? Don't earnestly contend for those things. Show grace for those type of things. There's very important foundational truths in the essentials unity. There's important stable principles in non-essentials liberty. There's less important personal opinion issues in all things charity. Number 11, self-dependence. We don't need self-dependence right now. He that trusteth in his own soul, his heart, is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Number 12, we do not need stubbornness. My way or the highway. I'm going to prove my point. I came across a quote last night, and I have no issue specifically, personal opinion or perspective in mind, but I do want us to think about this. In my life, this is true often. Sometimes I play the fool. It says this, it is easier to fool someone than to convince someone that they have been fooled. What does that mean? Oftentimes, it's easy to fool us, but sometimes we're not willing to admit that we've been fooled. And so we're stubborn. It's my way. I'm not willing to admit that. Here's the point. Hold on to your opinions and perspectives lightly unless they're based on God's obvious truth. Shame and embarrassment is a main killer of potential. Keeps people from freely serving. But so is pride and arrogance. Keeps people from loving and forgiving. Or maybe you're the one who's right. Don't have a chip on your shoulder about it. Told you so! God keeps score in a completely different way than we do. We must learn to find the differences between compromise and boldness. The bottom line is this. Let's not be stubborn about our opinions, no matter what they are. Let's rally around what unifies us, Christ, God's truth, those 12 things that we need right now. Let's rally around those together. Let's recognize that Satan is the one that causes chaos, dissension, division. He loves it when we gossip and criticize. Let's not give in. Let's not shoot at each other. Let's shoot at him. The only thing that we should be stubborn about is earnestly contending together for the faith. I'm just going to give you, I'm not going to go into any of these details. What is our society lacking right now? Number three. What do we need? What do we not need? What does our society need? Number one, it's lacking in respect. It's lacking in responsibility. It's lacking in reason. It's lacking in righteousness. What does it need? It needs God's truth. The answer is the gospel. It is very obvious to all of us right now, whether you're saved or not, that we live in a broken world. It's sinful. It's ugly. But it's ugly because of sin. That's the very reason that it's ugly. Sin is not only the symptom, it's the source. It's the very thing that needs to be fixed. And what's the only way that can fix it is the gospel, the truth of God. Christ's scriptural morality and God's truth are the only true way to fix the problem. Issues on racism. Yes, that's addressed in scripture. We're all one race. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Issues on the fatherless. Yes, that's addressed in scripture. Issues on health. Yes, that's addressed in scripture. God is our shield and strength. What else does it need? It needs Christian influence. I wish we had time to develop this more. We need to study up. We've said this before. We need to show up. We need to stand up. And we need to speak up. Amen. Influence is a powerful thing. The silent majority is a phrase that we've heard over and over again. Why are we silent? We have the truth. Number three, we need Christian love. What does the world need right now? Christian love. The world doesn't need a new definition of Christianity. It needs a new demonstration of Christianity. Leonard Ravenhill. You don't need to redefine Christianity and God's truth. It's timeless. We just need to demonstrate it better. Number four, the world needs repentance. Turn from wicked ways, turn to Christ. Luke 13, 1 through 5. Check it out. So what? No matter what is going on in this life, remember, number one, God is using you to represent him to the world. Are you being an accurate and passionate representation? Number two, God desires you to live and speak his truth. Are you demonstrating God's truth and speaking God's realities through your life? Number three, God desires you to actively demonstrate his characteristics to the world around you. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light, let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are we representing God accurately and passionately by our works, by our actions, by our attitudes, by our reactions, and our character? Last of all, God has secured for you, through Christ, unimaginable, wonderful, eternal blessings in heaven. Are you living your life based on current comfort or eternal realities? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that your characteristic? Living for heaven, not for now. So what needs to happen, last of all, bottom line, and what should Christians be doing now? Romans 13, 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Bottom line is this. Put on Christ-likeness. Live like Christ. Don't give in to Satan's distractions and disruptions. He's the only one that wins when we give in. So live like Christ. Lord, I thank you so much for today. Lord, it's very obvious that what's going on around us is orchestrated by Satan. He loves chaos. He loves division. He loves sin. He loves to disrupt and distract and destroy. But Lord, what needs to happen? What can we do? Lord, help us to put on Christ-likeness. Help us to have deep faith and trust, a love, a unity, a humility, an obedience, discernment, boldness, standing for the truth, grounded in the truth. Help us to be gracious, reveling in your grace. Help us to be merciful and forgiving. Help us to be tuned into your Holy Spirit and help us to repent in areas that we need to repent. Lord, I pray that in our lives, Lord, both as Christians in general and as Woodside Baptist Church in specific, we would demonstrate these accurately and passionately, and that you would use us to make a positive impact and influence in this world.